Father, we rejoice that you would give us your Son. We rejoice that we have unity with you through your Son. We've been reconciled to you. We can live in richness of life and hope because of your Son. Lord, as we remember your Son now, we pray that you would attend to us. You would give us clarity on your word. You would speak to us through the truth of your word, that we might be pleasing to you and honoring to your Son. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, now we come to the time in our service where we remember Christ for who he is and what he did on the cross for the Christian, for the one who follows Christ, how he offered up his body and his blood at the cross to pay for those and the sin of those who would put their trust in him. In just a few minutes, we're going to be taking a small wafer and a bit of juice. And we need to remember that these are just symbols. They're just symbols of the body and the blood of Christ that actually has the power to save. We're going to be looking at a passage this morning that helps us understand that Jesus himself spared us from the wrath of God. So if you have a Bible with you, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12 this morning. And if you don't have the Bible with you, there are some men coming down the aisles, and they will be able to offer you a Bible. You can use that. And if you don't actually own a Bible, please consider this as our gift to you this morning so that you can begin reading God's Word for yourself. And if you have a pew Bible, our passage this morning is on page 1067. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and Paul founded that church. He established that church on his second missionary journey, but he was not able to stay with that church for a very long period of time because there was some persecution against the gospel and against Paul specifically. So Paul wasn't able to stay with them for a very long time. But in the time that he was there, he taught them, and because he was only there a short period of time, they were lacking in some of their understanding as believers, and one of the areas where they were lacking in their understanding was their eschatology, the end times. What happens at the end times, and what happens when a person dies, and all of those things. And so Paul addresses that, among other issues, in this letter. At the beginning of chapter 5, Paul is writing about the day of the Lord, the day when Jesus comes to establish his millennial kingdom on this earth. And you can see in verse 3, it's a day of destruction that comes suddenly upon the unbeliever. Other places in Scripture help us understand that this is the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's a day of woe and dread and darkness and gloom, where God brings out his wrath on those who have rejected him and his Son. But then in verse 4, Paul turns the corner and he brings us back to this time frame here. He brings us back to the church age today. And he's beginning to make a contrast, and we can see the contrast in our passage today. It's a contrast between light and darkness, between belief and unbelief, between daytime and night. And as we read our passage, I just observe you or encourage you to notice that contrast. And then notice as we get to verses 9 and 10, the gift of God and the role that Christ plays in guaranteeing that gift. So follow along as I read verses 7 through 10 together. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. You see the lostness of the unbeliever in verse 7. They're spiritually blind. They're living in spiritual darkness. They don't have any understanding. They're in a stupor spiritually. They couldn't see the truth if it was right in front of them. They can't see it for what it truly is. And you see the contrast there at the beginning of verse 8. Paul says, but. And he speaks to the church, and he speaks collectively, including himself. And he says, we are of the day. We have the understanding of who God is. God has made us able to understand him. And he says, because of that, there's an instruction there right in the middle of verse 8. Let us be sober. Let's live our lives in a self-controlled manner. And the rest of verse 8 tells us how a person does that. And Paul is using battlefield language here to help us understand this. He speaks of a breastplate. A breastplate is something that soldiers would wear in battle in that day. And it protected your most vital organs in your body. He says, in a similar way, God has given us gifts that help us and protect us. And the first of those is faith. A faith to believe that God's design for salvation is the right design. Put your confidence in Christ and what he did on the cross in place of everybody who would put their trust in him. There's another gift that's listed there as well, and that's love. Prior to knowing Christ, prior to being a child of God, man doesn't love God. He loves himself. He's not able to love God. But at regeneration, the Holy Spirit actually pours the love of God into the person. And the result is the person is able to love God back. And they're able to love mankind, particularly those in the body of Christ. It's a fascinating, tremendous change that has taken place in the person's life. And then there's one more gift that's given there, and we see it at the end of the verse. That's the hope of salvation. And this is what guards your mind and protects your mind in the same way that a helmet protects a soldier's head in battle. The hope there is a knowledge, a confidence in a certain future event. And that event in the future that we're so confident in is God's ability to keep his promise to grant salvation to everybody who would put their trust in Christ. And that hope and that certainty and that confidence is to guide us as we navigate through the circumstances of the life that God has given to us. So those are the gifts. We see that in verse 8. Notice what God has done for us in verse 9. God has not appointed the believer. Paul is speaking to the believing church there, and he's including himself. God has not appointed us for wrath. The wrath that is due to those that you read back in verse 3, that is not appointed for those who put their trust in Christ. But instead of that, for obtaining salvation. Salvation is deliverance, deliverance from what you deserve, deliverance from the wrath of God that he stirs up in, as his way of avenging himself against the sin that the sinner lays up against him. God has appointed us for salvation, to be redeemed from that, to be released and set free from that. But notice that it's through someone. It's through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of verse 10 is where we want to focus for our time around remembering Christ this morning. He saved us. How did he save us? He died for us. This is not a passive activity on Christ's part. This is an active action on Christ's part. Christ entered into death on behalf of the believer. He did this willingly. He did this obediently. He did this gladly for the believer. He did this so they could be redeemed from their sin. You notice in verse 8, all of those things that the believer is to do to live rightly, to live soberly, to live in a way that's organized, in a way that's right before God. We don't do those perfectly. We don't live them out well. We don't always live in such a way where our faith is strong. We waver, and we waver into sin sometimes as believers, don't we? Same thing with love. We have the opportunity to love our brother well. And many times we do. We love very well. But there are those occasions where we don't. And also, we have the opportunity to use God's promises for us about eternity to inform the way we think today. And many times we do, but sometimes we fall into sin and not believe God's promises, and we choose sin. The message in verse 10 is so helpful and so encouraging because Christ died for us. And so the issue is not because we don't live a perfect life before God, we're condemned to the same way that the unbeliever is. The issue is because of what God has done for us through Christ that we are saved from any shortcoming on our part. So if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, you love Christ, you understand what he's done for you, you recognize what he did on the cross, think back over the course of the last week. Think back over the course of the last week and notice the places where you fell short of God's standard for your life. That doesn't disqualify you from eternity with God by any means. In fact, we just look at verse 10 and we find all of the hope we can. Remember and rejoice, believer, that Christ died for you. And in doing that, he rescued you, he saved you, he delivered you from the end that you deserved. So when your heart is prepared, take the elements on your own. If you're here this morning when you don't know Christ, Christ is not your Savior and your Lord. You don't follow him. He's not your master. You're your own master. You need to understand that right now your situation is like the people back in verse 3. Your situation is that should the Lord take you today, destruction would come upon you. But you have an opportunity to change that today. You can turn to Christ in repentance and faith and recognize that what he did on the cross is sufficient to save you from every offense in your life against God. After the service, there will be somebody up at the front to the left. They will be happy to talk with you about their relationship with the Lord, how they came to know Christ. They'll have a Bible with them. They can show you from God's word promises that God is faithful. But when the elements come to you, just pass them to the next person. And when we're all done, I will take time to pray together. So men, come forward and serve us, and then I will pray in just a few minutes.